Hei, og velkommen til en ny episode av Kritisk linje. Jeg heter Marius.
Jeg heter Roa.
I dag så foregår samtalen på engelsk, for vi har med oss en person som kanskje norsken ikke så stødig.
Ja, han har vært mye i Norge og kan litt, men jeg tror det går best om vi tar hele på engelsk.
Okay, vi har med oss Martin Fischer fra Stanford. Han en av hjernene bak metodikken VDC, som både Roa og jeg veldig glad I. Så setter vi igang.
Let's switch.
Hi Martin, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. So, tell us a little bit, who are you?
Well, I'm Martin Fischer, grew up in a small village in Switzerland, but was always curious about the world, and which brought me to California, where I've been for over 30 years at Stanford as a professor in digital construction, you could say.
And a lot of people know your name, at least here in the Norwegian industry, as some sort of founding father or kind of the entrepreneur behind what's been known as VDC. Like, where did that start and what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I together with a colleague at Stanford, John Koons, we came up with the term. At the time, early 2000s, we were looking for a term that brought together the threats of BIM, lean construction and collaborative construction, collaborative processes, which I'll get into in a moment, which we saw really as the necessary methods for any project to be successful. And we were trying to find a term that was short, familiar, but also different. Because people say, but Martin, it's also about the operation of buildings and so on, and absolutely. But we didn't want to have a term virtual design and construction and operation and facility management and reuse and yeah. So we stuck with design and construction because that's where most of the industry, a lot of the value added that professionals in our industry provide is done in design and construction, of course, also beyond. And we added the term virtual to signal what was different. Because when you can do things virtually, it allows a very, very different organization of your project team. And that's what we wanted to signal, the thinking about that. Personally, it's really started in my first job, where I got really frustrated working on a bridge in the US. I got frustrated by spending every day looking for information, trying to figure out what is the right information. And I thought there has to be a better way. That brought me back to graduate school at Stanford, where I was lucky to show up just as SIFE, the Center for Integrated Facility Engineering, started. And I envisioned something like a BIM. I said there has to be 3D, we have to be able to look at it, and there has to be the information available about what we are designing and building. So there was no BIM at the time, so we made it. And then we saw, wow, you can do cool things with that. So eventually, 3D and BIM arrived commercially. And I was, I guess, lucky that in the San Francisco Bay Area, there were a lot of reflective practitioners on the client side, on the design side, on the construction side. And sort of quite simultaneously, sort of in the later 90s, late 90s, these organizations emerged. One was called Lean Construction. Because as we know, right, with leaders like Glenn Ballard, Iris, Greg Howell, Todd Zabel, I was hanging out with them quite a lot. The other one was called Collaborative Process Institute. This was clients, engineers, and contractors who said, why do we beat each other up every day on our project? There has to be a better way. It doesn't make our projects better. It doesn't make it fun. So they were focused on collaboration. And then together with Atul Kansode and Chris Raftery, who's now up in Northwest, and a couple other people, we started the Virtual Builders Roundtable, focused really on BIM and visualization. And so these three organizations kind of coexisted and did events, etc. And in the early 2000s, as things became more established and formal and commercial in terms of tools, that's when John Koons and I at SIFE said, okay, we need some term that puts this all together, because in practice, you have to use all of those methods. Mm-hmm. So that's where VDC came from.
Awesome. It sounds a little bit familiar to where I know both you and I always met this the first time, because we had a lot of people who believed in lean in our projects, But they were kind of asking, like, so how does this fit in with all the digital stuff? And we had a lot of people working with BIM, but they were kind of asking, like, BIM shouldn't be like a sideshow and just a technology. It should be part of the process. Yeah. So kind of that process and technology together approach was kind of what made us look around for something that could answer how to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember that time because I was so frustrated because I knew this part, that was a lean thing. I had the BIM. I couldn't get it to work together. I didn't manage to get sort of the whole system thing mm-hmm. going. There was no sort of overarching philosophy of it. Mm-hmm. So I tried different fail attempts to implement both the BIM and also the lean construction part. Mm-hmm. But it never worked as it should. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing, though. So when I read about VDC for the first time, I was like, yeah, this is what it's supposed to be like. This is sort of the system. This is the whole, like, the overarching idea. Yes. This ties it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was always puzzled. It never made sense to me how you could do BIM without Lean and how you could do Lean without BIM. Mm-hmm. I mean, a reflection... there's many other angles you could take, is in Lean, you very much are aware of the variability on projects and the uncertainty, and you try to iron them out as much as possible and manage the rest. And a lot of the uncertainty on projects, in my experience, came from uncertain information. And here we had a method to make information more certain. So why wouldn't you, in a Lean practice, want to have more certain information? I mean, now this is, of course, happening, but in the early days, that somehow the connection wasn't made by many people. And but similarly, if I'm doing a BIM, I mean, at the time it was still quite a big investment and a lot of effort. So you would want to do it just in time. You'd want to pull it. You want to, you know, make sure you're doing modeling the thing that actually really matters, not just in case. So for me, the two like really always were very, very much connected.
Yeah. And I guess like these things are easy to say, like nobody disagrees, should mm-hmm. be connected. But to me, what I found when I encountered VDC was, and this takes a little bit of practice. You need to go out and see some in practice on projects, how this is done, but to actually change the way we work. So on my first project, remember I was a BIM coordinator. I showed them all the clashes in the BIM. And then afterwards, the design manager said, okay, great. Thanks for showing us the BIM. Now let's get back to designing the project. And they went back to the regular design meeting. The BIM was kind of a sideshow thing.
Yeah.
But then putting the BIM in the center of the design meeting, this is how we actually design the building. And then the drawings are the product that changed how the meetings went, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Connecting the schedule with BIM, same thing,
yeah.
actually doing this. So to anyone who's new to it, like how do you explain VDC in a way that's understandable, but also not too time consuming, like specific enough, but not.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, I'm always told, Martin, it's all about having the right team, the right people. And yes, I agree. A project will likely go much better if you have the right team and the right people. But then you, right? So we have the right people, the right team. So now you need to make sure that you're actually really leveraging those people. So you need to create a good collaborative environment because these different people with different disciplines and backgrounds, experience are on a job, to work on the whole job, but to bring also their knowledge. And so that's sort of the first part of VDC that brought us to the ICE concept, the integrated concurrent engineering. Instead of working sequentially through issues, the idea is that you really bring these disciplines together and they work concurrently to solve the problems on the project, hence the term engineering. But that process will work a lot better if you have good tools. I mean, we all know that. And hence sort of the idea of BIM, but you could really expand it to just having good information. Otherwise, that integrated team cannot really function very well. And then you have to really think about how the ability to make decisions fast, to explore many options quickly in an interdisciplinary setting, changes the process and vice versa. And so that's the other aspect, the other key aspect that we can control on projects is the process. So it's really people, process, and technology. I mean, well-established terms. It's bringing all of those together because these are the factors project manager typically can influence, right? You can decide who is on the team and how they work together. You can decide what tools you use, and then you can orchestrate the process how you need it to be. And the last element is, of course, what does all of this need to achieve? How does it help the project? How does it help the client? Hence then the metrics and the objectives. So that's like kind of explained what some of you may already know as the VDC framework. But that's kind of the simple explanation is it's about figuring out what the project team needs to achieve and then with whom and how they're going to do it in terms of the processes, workflows, and the tools. And just having that in your mind all the time, because these things are connected. It's not like on Monday is the process day, on Tuesday is the metrics day, and on objective day, and so on. No, this is always interconnected at the detailed level, at the big picture level. So the framework works for you on every day, and it works for the team in the weekly setting. It works for the whole project.
And I think, yeah, when you mentioned that about the ICE, the integrated concurrent engineering, the meetings, that was for me the missing link, because I had the sort of scheduling thing, but I didn't have the system to tie together and to have my first experience of a prop ICE session. That was like a revelation, because wow, this is how it's supposed to. This is it. This is the answer, because it's well planned, it's structured, and you measure, and people know what it's supposed to do instead of 15 people around the table shouting at each other, discussing what wasn't done the last 2 weeks and promising to do stuff for the next 2 weeks, coming back in 2 weeks, same situation. Mm-hmm. No one done anything. It's just all about discussing what should have happened instead of actually proactively working on doing stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. And why hasn't anyone thought of that before? I mean, come on, we've been building buildings for a while, though.
Yeah. I'm curious, and if you remember that the first ICE session, what was the reaction of the other professionals in the session?
They were sort of they were all curious because it was brand new. This was in pretty much, I think it's 2016. It was the first VDC project I had when I was writing the thesis thing for the course, and there was sort of curious excitement. And we had a few naysayers as well who just couldn't be bothered to spend a whole day with a meeting. It was silly, and I was wasting his time and whatnot. And of course, we get those every now and then. But most of the people sort of, cool, this is a new thing. Let's try it. Let's go for it. And that project turned into a really good project. We did well, with a good crew. We delivered a fantastic project for the client as well. It was a success story, actually. So I'm quite happy with being the first VDC project I had like that. So yeah, curious people, and they were really eager to make it work. They actually did participate well. They embraced it, at least most of them.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I was also wondering, Roar, you have, very well known in the Lean community and the BIM community. And I'm sure you've had to make this explanation many times. How do you explain VDC to somebody that comes with a BIM mindset? Or how do you explain VDC similarly to somebody that comes with a Lean mindset? Because it's good, because they already have a little bit of a different, updated, modern mindset. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how you do that in practice.
So I had Lean back in school. I knew nothing about BIM, but my first job was within BIM and had little to do with Lean. So I was kind of stuck in both camps. My first time seeing VDC or learning anything about it, I was shown this very simple figure, which is what you know as a framework. It was just four boxes and a few arrows. And on the top, it said objectives. And then it said ICE, which is the terminology that we just talked about. And then it said PPM, process management, and then BIM. And to myself, I was thinking the world is more complex than what you get from a few boxes and arrows. But I was told by this person in the industry that this has revolutionized how we do projects. Because if you do the right things within each of these boxes, you're going to do VDC. If you miss one of these boxes, you're back to, you know, doing bits and pieces. And so what I was asked, and also tell people, like, which box do you start in? If you're a BIM person, you're probably an expert in the BIM box. You might want to learn about PPM or this ICE methodology we just talked about, that completely revolutionizes how we do meetings. And try putting these things together. That's when things start to change. And the Lean people as well, if you go into this box that we call PPM, they're going to be very familiar. A lot of principles and practices. and they've heard about BIM, and maybe they've even heard about ICE, but try to put these together in a practical way in your project. So yeah, you tend to start in a box and then try to reach for the other ones, I guess. So maybe something we should do is to explain this framework a little bit to people, because this is an audio podcast and people might struggle to envision where we are in the VDC term.
They could look in the show notes though.
In the show notes, exactly. But could we like quickly run through like what are those, in my mind, four elements? We can always discuss if it's four or five, but objectives on the top, ICE, PPM, and BIM. Could we have like a lightning round through them so people understand the pyramid of terms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we start on the top,
the
objectives, which clearly need to be on the top of any figure, right?
Logically, you would start with the objectives, what you're trying to achieve. I mean, in practice, that's not always the case, but we can be logical for a while. I think it's good to have sort of an ideal reference framework, and then you use as much of it as you can in your practical situation. So the objectives, what we mean here is quantified objectives, targets that you can verify that you have met. We do differentiate into two of them, two major types, but basically they explain the reason why the project exists. And that's what we call client objectives. It's what the client wants to do with the structure we're building, whether that's an infrastructural project or an industrial or a building. So that gets into topics of what do the users need to do, how do we make it sustainable, how do we make it operable, also sort of the key buckets of objectives there. And then, of course, the project team has to make a project buildable. So that's really the job of the design construction people, to create a buildable project. So that become the project objectives, the things you can measure when the project is handed over to the client. And of course, they have to be connected. You can't have a buildability objective that really goes totally against one of the client objectives. Well, we see it all the time, but you should not. So the idea exactly of this framework is to highlight these kinds of discrepancies and allow them to be ironed out from the very beginning. But that's at the top, really, the brief statement would be, why does the project exist?
Obviously, this takes a day to learn at a VDC class, and a 15-second answer is always going to be short. But so, in short, like any good VDC project has clear objectives.
Yeah, that you can measure.
That are measurable. You can track them. You can say that it's done. And the client objectives, you tend not to be able to track them right away. You need maybe when the building is in use.
Exactly.
But the project objectives, that's kind of the project success. As we hand it over, have we reached these targets?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And those are classical objectives of quality, safety, of course, paramount, then schedule, budget, but also, of course, sustainability during the design and construction phase.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the link between the project objectives and the client objectives, they are sort of, they're necessary, they're important.
Yeah. I mean, a project where I really saw this front and center is an amazing project, at least one of the, I would say, the most amazing project for me that I was able to visit in 2022. It's the Aquatic Center in Paris that's being built for the Olympics. You can just go around different Olympic cities and see the ruins of, once famous stadia, right? Beijing, Munich, Montreal. I mean, many, many places where we had Olympics, a lot of the Olympic facilities are falling into disrepair. And it looks like the French are going to do this a bit better. So this aquatic center is placed in the north of Paris, a bit of a depressed part of Paris, to lift it up. And I was taken there by Bouygues, that won the contract. What I learned is that it's a 30-year design build operate contract with three U scenarios: the Olympics, European Championship, and then a community swim center. So they'll have an Olympic level facility as the community swim center for most of the time. But Bouygues has to run this for 30 years. And so this led to a very different design than you would have otherwise. Because as I was walking through the site with the project executive, he said, you know, when we looked at the 30-year cost in a swim center, you quickly realize that the amount of humid air you have to treat drives your cost. This is the big cost driver. So our focus was to make the stadium as small as possible. And that led to a pool that is reconfigurable. I've never heard of something. I really need to go and see it again. That pool can be reconfigured into 26 different ways by raising the floor, by pulling the walls in and out, etc. Because that allowed them, because otherwise they have to build multiple pools and then the stadium gets big and then you have to treat the air and then you can't afford it to run it as a community center. And so I asked the project manager, I said, so what if you had to build faster? What's limiting it? And I expected something like, look outside, the traffic is horrendous, you know, just getting the logistics is just horrible, or it's just everybody's busy, but I can't get people to work, or I expected an answer like that. No, he said, what's limiting my ability to build faster is the speed at which the design team can make design decisions, because everything is so integrated. And so they have to, the buildability, right? If we don't get the buildability right, then we pay too much in building, it takes too long, and we have rework, but then also we affect the operability. And then the economics of the whole project are destroyed. So the ability to make these integrated design decisions is limiting the speed at which we can build because of this integration of project and client objectives that naturally had to happen. Because I was reflecting, right? Normally we separate those and then, okay, yeah, no wonder in the other countries the swim stadia may fall into disrepair because you built, you know, the cheapest structure you can build and now it's hugely expensive to operate, which you can't afford for just, you know, everyday swimming. So I think that was a really great illustration for me of the importance of connecting the client and project objectives and then handling them in an integrated way.
That's a fantastic example, actually, on that.
And it makes sense. Like, it's smart that the client's value from a construction project, which is probably measurable only when it's in use, maybe a little bit down the line, there's a red thread to what the project objectives are. Yeah. Would make sense.
Would make sense.
Yeah. Should make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so objectives. A good VDC project has really clear objectives and not just the usual ones, deliver on time and cost. But, you know, if a client says, to me, it's a client objective that parents spend 5 minutes delivering their kids, no more, the car should be running, probably that really affects how that building is designed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they can be anything but valuable to the client.
Yeah, exactly.
Next box.
Yeah, so we've been spending quite a time on the objectives.
Top one.
Are we going
down leftwards? I'm used to seeing
PPM
there.
Yeah.
Well, I think then we get to, so now we have defined, you know, what the project team has to achieve, why, right? So that's clear now. And now we have to really focus, put our attention on how the project team is going to achieve it. And now we're back to people, process, technology, because these are the levers we have. And so if you want to talk about process, so if you stick with the swim stadium, right, they had to really integrate their processes, connect the different disciplines to each other, which they have done through creating integrated information bases for the project team. But you also have to very carefully orchestrate the process so you don't end up with the wrong decision at the wrong time, right? Or you need to put that type of out. But anyway, I think you understand what I mean.
Yes.
So the attention to process. So yeah, really. And I mean, I'm always, I don't know, naturally or because I was taught, I forgot, thinking in a pull right way. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we have to achieve? How do we achieve this integrated, the stadium that, you know, functions just, yeah, for these extreme cases. What do we have to do to get there? But working backwards. So you have to orchestrate the process. And then, and as part of that process, the process will change dramatically depending on how you have the people collaborate. if you have the people collaborate in sort of typical sequential way because, yeah, we can't find a day to get together, then that will be a much longer process than if you believe that the team is willing and able to come together and advance the project like in big steps. And so that is a very tight connection between the use of ICE sessions, where people collaborate and find solutions and put issues to rest instead of creating a long to-do list item that you work on and then you keep adding to that. But that ICE session is only going to be successful if those ICE sessions are only going to be successful if the team has really good information. So we also have to have a process to create good information. And there is, again, a sort of this mutual relationship between the ICE session and the information. The ICE session depends on the quality of the information, but at the same time, the ICE sessions enhance the quality of the information. And this is how, in my experience, all of these elements really play together. And I've seen some professionals really take big leaps. Project manager for a theme park project in Southern California. Well, the theme park owner wanted to have a part of a project, about a $30 million project, delivered in half the time. I think 18 months instead of 37 planned. And there was no project manager on the client side willing to jump in, because then you deliver it in 19 months and, nobody remembers that it was originally supposed to be 37. No, it's supposed to be 18, right? But this one guy jumped into it, Robert. And he said, and then asked him, why did you take the risk? Well, I took the VDC class and I saw the power of ICE sessions to shrink the schedule dramatically. And so he carefully designed the ICE sessions and the timing and sequence and who needed to be there and really changed the entire delivery process around that and delivered the restaurant in 18 months and then became very famous in the company because he did something that nobody wanted to touch.
That's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Half the time. That's bold.
So just going a little bit back to you mentioned with PPM, you mentioned collaboration. I think, so in that box, I think that's why a lot of the lean people find themselves in that box, right? Because we talk about principles. When you go to a VDC class, you learn about the importance of flow, of pool, of variability. But you also promote very collaborative planning, scheduling practices, such as, pool planning, last planner system, TACT, like these kind of concepts. And a lot of people from the lean world will recognize those. I think first time I saw us, because we were talking about any kind of process, could be a physical building process, but I remember when we started doing the last planner pool planning of design schedules, that completely revolutionized how our design teams actually performed as scheduled. So that was a big experience, but it was only when we connected these things, when we started doing ICE sessions and checking the schedule in the sessions, using BIM in the sessions, like when we did these practices together, that's when things changed.
I agree. It sort of solved the whole thing. Because I remember also the old sort of design schedules, they weren't that easy to follow. We never sort of checked them.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but we just didn't. We didn't know. It tied all together then.
Yeah. And also the roles changed as well, right? Because we had a lean expert on the project who would run around with the Post-it notes. Then we had a BIM coordinator coming with the BIM, but they had different meetings. But when we did ICE sessions, I would agree with you, Mark, that's when it all came together. Because in the beginning of an ICE session, we checked the pull plan schedule and we used BIM. And when we took decisions, maybe that created a new Post-it notes for the schedule, or maybe we needed to go back and change something in the BIM. And now things really started spinning together. And the lean and BIM coordinator, one of them became a VDC coordinator and the other one didn't have a job anymore.
And also, I think it introduced into the team a level of accountability we didn't have.
Yeah.
Because they committed to the plan and they committed to the meetings and they actually delivered on the promises they made instead of saying, oh, sorry, I didn't do it in time, so I'll do it next time instead. That sort of mostly stopped.
Yeah. Mm. And just ICE sessions. So like now we talked a lot about it and we kind of name dropped it, but And correct me if I'm wrong, like the simplest way of explaining what an ICE session is, I learned, was it's just a different way of doing a meeting. Instead of sitting around and talking about all the stuff we should have been doing, it's a workshop. We get together to solve things. And to do that, it needs to be really well planned, and you need to have the right people in the room, usually interdisciplinary. Like, yep. What do you think? Like, does that match kind of how we explain it?
No, that's good. I don't need to add to that explanation. That is good. So let's not confuse anybody by offering more explanations. I think that was good.
PPM and ICE then sort of all together now.
So the one comment I want to make on PPM, right, which stands for Project Production Management. It's a term we adopted a few years ago, really from the Project Production Institute, PPI. And the key word there is really production. And that can get lost a bit in the world of traditional project management. I mean, it shouldn't, but it does get lost. What is it that the team really has to produce? And that takes us back to the objectives. And so that I find that was very helpful for me as an input for Motherswell. We collaborated also for many years with, and still do, with Strategic Project Solutions and Project Production Institute out of San Francisco on BDC. And I think that's kind of the next frontier, actually, because we can start to now instrument our production processes much better, especially the physical ones, and we can connect them better to the what we need to build in BIM. And so I see advanced projects really leveraging this much richer set of information to understand really what we are producing and how well we are producing it. Mm-hmm. Beyond, you know, the frequently seen lean methods of last planner, etc., which nothing wrong with them, don't get me wrong. Great to do, to check the reliability of your planning, etc. But in most cases there, you don't see what is being produced. Where we measure PPC by what percentage of the task you're supposed to do, you did do, with the assumption that the tasks are the right tasks and they are productive, etc. But that is often just an assumption, not the reality. And so by being able to, if we could measure PPC by amount of work produced, I mean, a simple measure would be amount of concrete placed, but also could be amount of models coordinated or things like that, I think our project teams will get more productive.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But to anyone who's kind of completely in a different world than VDC these days, and they want to get started doing VDC, at least when we started, we kind of had a conversation, like, where do we start? Like, what's the basic, like the baseline of VDC practices? And we decided on a few things to do within each of these boxes, but it was really simple. And then you can do more advanced stuff. Like, how do you... what do you advise people if they just want to get started? Like, we are working like we did in the 1970s in construction. This looks modern and efficient.
Yeah.
How does that project look?
So I would start with asking colleagues around you, so what is a thorny issue that we have to deal with in the next few months? Like, there has to be something. Otherwise, please call us, because then your project is like a vacation camp. so you must have some kind of thorny issues that could throw the project off. And so that would be a good motivation to say, okay, who? And then you think about who is affected by this thorny issue and who could help us solve it. And those are the people you want to bring together and have an ICE session. Say, you know, we could solve this like by sending emails back and forth and documents and point you to things in the cloud and then wait till somebody has time and then the issue changes slightly. And I mean, we could do that we know how to do. Or we could just get together for an afternoon or whatever time you think it'll take and really work out this issue and be done. I think that's within reach of anybody on any project, mm-hmm. regardless of contract type. And when you do that, you will quickly realize that you want to get high quality information together. So it'll focus on, so it'll get you into the information side. And then you do that. And if successful, people want to say, well, let's do that again for another issue. And now you're starting to rethink your processes. And you sort of, I think, quite naturally get into it. And eventually you then start to think, well, we could be more aggressive in our objectives, for example. We could, whether that's internal or external client-facing. But that's one path that I could see that's, I think, in reach of anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think?
I agree. I think this is a little bit like company to company. Any contractor, for instance, who wants to start doing this, he needs to establish a few like standard practices, which are simple and approachable and anyone can start doing. You know, so in PPM, let's do pool planning of production and design. In BIM, let's at least have a model. Maybe we don't need to do 4D or AI or VR just yet, but like just having a model which is of a certain quality. And then let's at least start doing like the design meetings. When the design, let's do that as I sessions. And that's the start. And then the conversation starts after somebody has done one successful or two successful VDC projects. Well, I want to do more. Like, how do we make this more advanced?
And then you can take elements from that and implement into other meetings so that all the meetings you have, it has a purpose.
Yeah.
You have some goal. You know what's supposed to prepare beforehand. You know what the output of the meeting is. You know all these sort of small trickle things that you can do into other things in the project. And voila, you have the whole system applied.
I remember when we had a few I sessions on the first part, we had learned this new methodology of having meetings. We had some managers visiting because they heard about this great new fancy thing. They were then they realized it was just an Excel sheet and a different way of doing meetings. But I heard that management team had been starting to having their management meetings based on ICE methodology, just some different principles. Well-planned meetings, solving things, not just talking. And some different ways of documenting the meeting.
Yeah.
And they said, like, well, what you had to do is just common sense. And that often happens in VDC. Like, people say, it's just common sense. We need to plan together. Let's do pool planning. Maybe we should involve the builders and the designers together for an hour and discuss how to build it. Well, that's ICE. Yeah. And then instead of flipping through pages on paper, maybe we should just have it in a click away in a digital model, exactly the piece of information you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we actually did try to make VDC common sense. We didn't try to invent rocket science. We tried to invent something that, yeah.
Yeah.
And if that's what you think VDC is, I'm fine with it. You know. But sometimes we've also wanted to give it a name that sounds a little bit new, but also familiar. So that it's kind of like, you know, so there's a screen behind which you can change your clothes, even though you could have done this, you know, before. But okay, you know, we don't want to accuse anybody of not being reflective on, you know, how to work. So yeah, it works in that way as well. I find. I'm curious whether you have run. So people that have had a good experience or decent enough experience with VDC, have they said, okay, that was nice to try, now I'm going to go back to the old way of doing? Or because in California, really pretty much at least 95%, if not more, of the professionals that have had an experience on a VDC project, I'm not going back. But I'm just curious whether that's just us over there on the other side of the world, or yeah, what do you see?
From my experience, from the projects I worked with, I've never had anyone say, no, we're just going to do it the old way again. But I've had people say, we may not do such a massive implementation the next time because the project is of a lesser scope. Mm-hmm. And I've done quite successful VDC implementations in prelim projects, in calculation phases, you know, like all the prelim stuff before the actual design phase happens. It's just a scaled down version of it. Not as long meetings, like fewer agenda points, the same basic framework. And for my own sake, I'm not doing it another way again. I don't miss the old 2-3 hour meetings where people shouted at each other because they're angry. It's just, no, I'm good, thanks. I'll do it this way instead.
This reminds me of a maybe not so totally tactful answer I gave to a manager, quite high level manager in a very big construction company in the US. And I presented in front of I got access to the entire top management team of the company, said we want to learn about VDC. So I gave a presentation, and then first question, yeah, Martin, you know, on what type of size project would you not use VDC? And then I was just so like, I don't know, in VDC lingo thinking, it just came out of me. And I thought, well, anyway, it came out, well, if you have a project that would be better because you have unclear objectives, poor information, bad workflows, and bad collaboration, then you shouldn't use VDC. That's literally how I answered, which I was maybe a little bit pushy. And I was, oh, what did I just do, right? Yeah. But it just like came out. I was like so like, in a way, annoyed at the question, right? I said, didn't you see the framework for what it is? It's about being clear on what you want to achieve and how you're going to achieve it in terms of who is in the boat with you, how you're going to work together, tools you're going to use, the information you're going to create and use, and how it's all orchestrated in your workflows. Sure. And so, yeah, if you think a project is better because you don't do that, then you don't use VDC, of course.
That's a good answer, actually.
Yeah, and also, it piggybacks a little bit back to like what VDC is, right? Because in a way, that simple figure of those four boxes and arrows, you know, it's also kind of... When I teach students at university what VDC is, because, you know, lack of experience, like I'm always asking like four questions, like objectives, where are we going, right? PPM, how are we going to be efficient when we're apart? ICE, how are we going to be efficient when we're together? And BIM, how are we going to collaborate digitally efficiently? And in my mind, like those are the four questions to really collaborate well. Like I'm not missing a lot. But also I wouldn't bundle them together. Like having some specific answers for each of those is smart. And in my experience, we tend way too often to say we're doing VDC as like it's a switch. Either we're doing it or not. But to me, it's more of a scale. Mm-hmm. Like you could do so much within each of these boxes, but at least do something according to the training, then you're doing VDC. But you could do more.
Yep.
So I've never seen anyone starting with VDC where we truly see they're doing these practices in an integrated way, stopping doing it. But I have seen some that have been like overly ambitious on one project and say, okay, maybe we not use 5D on the next one. Like in the BIM box, they got too eager. But to do something in the PPM, ICE and BIM box and putting it together, I've never seen anyone stop doing that.
Yeah. No, this reminds me of an episode of the top manager in Netherlands. And he was taking the VDC course that we have been doing since 2008. And his colleague said, what, you're taking a class, a VDC class? Like, isn't that for your like 25-year-old that needs to learn how to do digital things? What do you get out of it? And he said, well, since I started to take the VDC course, I've cut my meeting times in half. And they were like, what? Tell us more. Right. And he said, it's very simple. You know, it made me realize that we just have these meetings with like the agenda. We just go through the agenda and everybody's half asleep and nods ahead. And, you know, and now I just ask 2 days before the meeting or 3 days before the meeting, I said, who has an issue here? Where? And so now we have basically a pool-driven method. We are better to achieve our objectives and we are much more productive. And the meeting times have literally been half. So it's using only part of the VDC framework, but it was super successful for him.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I tried applying the framework to, I mean, the smallest project I did was 6 people, 8 weeks. It worked quite nicely. Yeah. And also been part of projects that lasted 4 years.
Yeah.
It works. It's just how you implement it, like how big do you want to do it, you know?
Yeah, there was another example from Netherlands from a really small infrastructure project. So in that company, there was an engineering company. They said, okay, we have the course here in the Netherlands for cost reasons, because it's easier to fly a few instructors to the Netherlands instead of us flying to California. But we would like to go to California. So we're going to demonstrate enough money savings to pay for our trip to California. And then they said, yeah, but that's not fair for Robin because he has a tiny, tiny little project and how is he going to possibly save that much money? And because we have big projects. And interestingly, so then in this VDC course, because it's a learn by doing course, the professionals do VDC and report once a month and build a community in that way and learn from each other. And I think it was the second check-in, so very early in the whole program, Robin said, I earned the money for the trip. He was the first. He had the tiniest project, and I said, okay, we cannot hold Robin to that. And everybody's like, what? How? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know, I thought, okay, maybe I should have an ice session with the client. So I went to the client. I went to the client and said, you know, I took this VDC course, and they talked about this concept of an ice session, and maybe we should just get together, like, to really think about the scope and the, you know, are we really on the same page? So we have the same expectations and so on. And this was early in the project, and the client said, yeah, that might be a good idea. How about next Wednesday? So the client organized his team, project manager organized his team from the engineering side. They spent the afternoon together. And then at the end of the afternoon, the client project manager says, yeah, that was very good. And I realize I have not told you all the scope I want, and I have not given you enough budget. And increased the budget voluntarily. And this, like, everybody was like, what? This is, never happens. Yeah. And the client said, I need to have a successful project. And so I understand you need to have the budget to make it successful. And the, but the client said, the client's reflection was, we always do these meetings like when the project is 75% but then 80% complete. And then we find out, oh, we have actually 40% more left to do, but we only have 20% more time and budget. And here we found it out at 20-25% of the project completion. We knew enough about the project that we could see where we really wanted. And at that time, I can still make adjustment. When the project is at 80%, I can't make any more adjustment. And then it just ends up in a bad project for us, for the consultant. So that was also a nice take-home message, actually.
Yeah. One of my favorite principles, and it goes in all these fields, VDC, Agile, Lean, whatever you want to call it, like this modern way of thinking project management, is increased transparency. Make people see and make them see together. That's why we do the sticky notes on the wall, right? People see the schedule clearly and understand it. Yeah. In that case, ice session, you know, a better way of collaborative is sitting down a meeting and seeing the project. And also BIM. We used to discuss drawings and then realized after 15 minutes where you have an old revision, I have a new one, and you're on the fourth floor, I'm discussing the other building or in the second floor, right? But now, it rarely happens when we're standing in an ice session looking at a BIM model that people say, oh, that's where we are. Like they get it, and we're talking about how we're building it, not which revision of the drawing we're looking at.
Yeah.
And I think that's a takeaway for me from VDC. Like, people see the product, there's less confusion about unnecessary things. You know, you're looking at the wrong schedule. No, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So we can still argue and can still be confused about things, but at least not look at two different drawings. We're clear on what we're discussing.
Yep. Yeah. No, and that, I mean, in that direction, I mean, around the sort of how information supports the project team, I'm pretty excited about the future. I mean, of course, in the pandemic, a lot of companies that I worked with used VR. Everybody's in their home office, and they got a headset, and then they still felt like, we are really together here in this VR space, and we're making design decisions together. That was a successful practice. I don't know if you had the same kind of experience here. And so there's these types of developments, but also the ability to sort of generative methods that allow us to very rapidly try all kinds of ideas and solutions, which I find is really key for the multiple disciplines to understand each other and to see what is a good solution for the mechanical guy versus the structural guy versus the architect, etc. But in the traditional way, that takes forever to work out. But when we have generative methods, we can understand much more quickly what matters to whom and why. And that has tremendous effect on, again, better collaboration and better result. So I see, I'm really quite excited about the information management side, but we have to make sure that we know how to manage it. I see the opportunity to really explore a project in great detail early on. And you might say that was kind of like anathema to project managers in the past. We've talked about project in the past, right? Because you just can only handle so much detail. But if it's digital and can be summarized easily, then we can get a much better sense of the future reality by going into detail early even when we're making conceptual design decisions. So I'm pretty excited about the evolution of VDC.
Right, that was the first half of our conversation with Martin Fischer. We just couldn't stop talking, so it took forever.
Yeah. We had a feeling this could happen, that the conversation lasted so long that we had to split it in two episodes.
So we did. So this was the first half. The next one comes in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So enjoy then. See you around.
See ya.